Let's get it. This that go and get it. With no hesitation. This that never quit. Start that elevation. This that process. This that in the making.
What is up, guys? We are here with another episode of Elevated K&I Podcast, and today I am here with my co-host
Roel Guerra
and our brother Donnell Watson. Is it Watson?
Yes, sir.
AKA Psych from South Bay Malinois. What's good, brother? How you doing?
Tell me about it. Been waiting on your ass to get on here for a while.
He's saying he's waiting on us, but we had already planned to get him on here, and he basically called us. He said he was asleep. He didn't wake up. He didn't sleep all night, and he couldn't make it. Man, so
dogs kept him up.
Yeah. So anyways, we're here today, man, and we're happy to have you, bro. Congratulations on your second Canine Street League, first place. And yeah, man, what's up? What you been up to lately?
Man, training.
Training.
Just like you every day.
That's what's up. Why don't we get started from the beginning, bro? Like, talk to us about, you know, your career in dogs, how it started.
Damn. That's a story. We got time.
Yeah, we got time.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, get real close to the mic so they can hear you.
So, like you, I've had dogs all my life. Every day of my life, I've always had a dog. But and dogs with an S.
Yeah.
How I got started training professionally, went to Malcolm, and I was looking for a dog. I got rid of my pit bulls, got tricked into getting rid of all my pit bulls by my ex-wife.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What you mean you got tricked? Like,
she had the insurance people over.
Oh.
She had.
And they looked in my backyard.
And
was like, oh, these dogs aren't covered under your policy.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think that's a trick, though. I think that's...
She did that.
Oh, like she hired somebody?
Yeah. They didn't need to know. The insurance
Yeah, I hear you.
But I had to get rid of my dogs out the house. So I got rid of the dogs, and I was about to bring the dogs back home, off the mouth. So yeah. I didn't do it.
Got it. But then you decided on getting a herder from there, or what do you mean?
I was going to get a fucking Corso.
Really?
Some kind of bully breed. I love my foundation is pit bulls.
Right.
But game dogs. Mm-hmm. So my boy, JC, Jeff told me, like, man, go check out Malcolm and LA Master Canine. They're training dogs and this and that. So
how long ago was this? What year was this?
Good Lord. 2004 or 2006, something like that.
Got it.
So I went up there and, you know, Malcolm saw all kind of dogs on the fence. Rottweilers, Massif.
All kinds of breeds he had out there.
All kinds of breeds of dogs. And then I seen the Malinois. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. Like, did you like him or
yes,
were you like?
I just liked the energy.
Yeah, yeah.
The energy and the dog was just nuts, just rah, rah, rah. You know, and then prey drive, just.
Yeah.
And I said, I want one of those. And then they gave me that spiel. This dog ain't for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, motherfucker, I'm not everybody.
Yeah.
I'm a dog man. I'm not somebody fly by night. I love dogs. So against Max Will, he sold me that dog.
So that was your first dog. What was his name? Your first Malinois. Sorry.
My first Malinois was Eli. Eli was a fucking beast.
I heard that name before.
Yeah, he was a beast. Because I think my advantage coming in this game, I came in with hard dogs.
Got it.
Automatic. I came in with hard dogs, dogs that can take a correction that didn't give a shit about nothing.
And then from there, you just kept getting more dogs because I know you got a few now.
I got dogs.
That's why you couldn't make it last time.
Yeah, but...
Tell me what the, like, what was your, like, your... Obviously, everybody comes in like with a thought behind of like what they want. Like, what is your even from the beginning? What was like the dog like that you were like, this is the type of dog that I want. What was that dog, and has it changed to today? What you wanted a dog today compared to what you wanted in a dog back then?
From then to now, you know, stuff has evolved.
Right,
training has changed.
But back then, what did you want in a dog?
I wanted a protector.
So it was just, you were just doing protection. That's
protection,
it.
Protection, you know, my dogs used to be, one of my pit bulls used to be with me all the time.
Got it.
So Eli, when I started raising him as a pup, that food was with me every day, everywhere. Then this is how I got into training, though. My money ran out. So
you fell on hard times.
That's a good motivator.
So yes. You fell on hard times. Got it.
Yeah. So I'm still going to training, and you need money to train.
Right.
So me, I'm just sit there and watch. And I watch. Nobody fucking with my dog.
Because you weren't paying him.
Wasn't paying. But then, you know, later our relationship evolved and I didn't need the bread.
Right.
But, you know, first coming in, fell on some hard times. You know, I had money for bills and family. That's it.
Right.
As far as training, no funds for training right now. So I just go watch. Nobody like, Psych, you want to work your dog? None of that shit. So I just watch.
And it just...
And I took like a fish to water, bird to air.
That's it.
And I start training. And then I had a little partner. He was fucking nuts, little Chris. I trained that dog with no equipment.
No equipment?
No equipment.
Explain that a little bit.
He was doing barking holes with no equipment.
So how was he getting rewarded?
Balls. All balls. Tug. Anybody from my neighborhood, they'll tell you, I could send that dog straight run up on you, barking hole, and he'd be jumping up in your face.
You talking about Eli?
Eli. I could leave him in my car, wouldn't jump out.
And Chris was your helper?
Little crazy dude.
like, so he would stand there in front of a dog that had no training?
Yes. I'd use that pinch, you know, yank and crank, baby.
Yeah. I mean, that was the style, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that was the style. Especially back then, I think, you know, now, like you said, now it's evolved a little bit, but that was the style back then, you know what I'm saying? So Eli comes, what happens after that? When does Mongo come into the picture?
Man, I had many dogs before Mongo.
Got it.
So let me see. Eli, then... I got a dog from Black Jack Malinois from Mark in Mississippi. He sent me a dog. I named her Chanel. Me and Chanel didn't bond. Wasn't a good relationship, so I sold her. Sold her to this guy named Mike, and that's how I got my other black dogs. That's how I got onto my black male, my stud dog, Ripper.
Got it.
But
hey, so, bro, you got the dopest names, bro.
Yes.
This dude got the dopest names on his dogs. I'm like, right now I'm thinking about Eli. I'm like, I'm going to name my next dog Eli.
Eli.
Like, yeah, Ripper. Bro, that's a I'm going to name my next name. Dog
Ripper. Yeah.
So, all right, so you got Ripper.
I had, sales Eli.
Uh-huh.
Then I had Chanel. I got rid of Chanel.
Yeah.
To my guy Mike and him. Then the other dude from Black Jack Malinois sent me another female, which I named her Sasha. Sasha just passed maybe about a couple of years ago. I had her for about 14, 16 years.
Dang.
Gave me plenty nuts.
She was like your foundation female.
Female. She was nuts. But then I find out Sasha and Ripper are cousins. Their mothers were belly mate sisters. So I was breeding these motherfuckers.
You were line breeding.
Yes.
Got it.
And she was giving me nutty ass dogs every time. So, you know, everybody knew me about the Black Malinois. So that's how I got on that.
Yeah, I know. I remember I started seeing them like, you know, years ago, like Black Malinois. And I was like, man, I wonder what they're putting like black shepherds in there. Who knows?
No, it's the Grandel.
Yeah.
Grandel.
And then, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. But, and then so you have that. And then let's get into Mongo. Cause I mean, I think anybody that has met Mongo, I think it is an impressive dog. Like, you know,
I don't care
who you are. Oh, I personally like him outside of the work.
Yeah.
Just how he, like, I remember going to your van once and just how he just looked at me. I was like, oh, this dude's for real. Like, obviously it has to do with the training, but you know, genetics have a lot to do with it. So, let's talk a little bit about him and maybe the foundation on how you got him started.
Genetic. He come from a strong black dog's Ronnie line, KMVP bloodline Ronnie from Hank Verbeck.
Got it.
then that's where my Eli, not Eli, but Ripper came from, a son of Ronnie's, was Got Benny. It. Mongol's daddy is Crespo. Crespo is a son of, no, my bad. Mongol, Hondo, Crespo, Ronnie.
Got it.
So, like that.
So, who did you get Mongol from?
A lady named Tamara Bella Gomez.
Are they in California? Or
yeah,
they?
She lives up north.
Got it.
Yep. Me and her fell across each other on Instagram when I first got this Instagram stuff.
Really?
You know, I fell across her dogs and I looked, black dogs. I'm like, fuck, the dogs look just like my dogs.
Right.
And then, you know, me and her got to talking. I was like, oh, mother got this dog from this. And
so it has similar same, blood. Got
same
it.
Same lines.
That's cool.
So then I watched her. Her breedings on the dog named Mamba, Mongo's mother, which I ended up buying later. So she bred the dog to a few different KMVP bloodline dogs.
Got it.
Titled dogs. Then she told me about she was going to breed it to Hondo, which is a police dog, which is a Crespo son.
Got it.
And I said, when you have a breeder, I want one.
And that's where Mongo came
that's
from.
That's where Mongo came from.
Got it.
And how old is Mongo now?
Six. He just turned six the other day.
I saw you posted a puppy picture of him recently, and he was like stout. Man, that dog was stout.
He was little at first. Then he
was
got,
he?
Yes, he was really? little dude. Then he got big.
So let's talk a little bit about you know the foundation and you know one thing that I always enjoy. Well, coming from like I came from like more of the sport background more than anything, and just one thing that I enjoy watching that I think I'm going to change in my program that I see you do and I see like Kenny do is like, you know, you guys just let your dogs hang out a lot of the time and they're not going like crazy or anything. They just chill. Or you could just leave them in the back of a truck and they just hang out until you call them. Where did that come from? That piece right there. Is that something that Malcolm used to do a lot or
Malcolm?
Cause again, you guys came from the, you know, similar school. So I feel like, you know, maybe that's where it started hey, or what?
I know this motherfucker don't see this video. And he gonna be like, y'all got it for me, Cherie.
Really?
Cherie used to have a big ass fucking shepherd, German shepherd, and he's Max, and he used to hang out. He'd say we got it from him, but I didn't get shit from you.
Anyway. Hey, Cherie's cool, man. Yeah, I like Cherie that dude. Cool. That's my but boy. So that's who you got it from. Yeah. Oh, we gonna have to give
and
him a little.
Malcolm Dog used to hang out too.
Got it.
Prowler used to hang out.
Got it. And then, it's different, right? Like you don't really see too many.
We used to have that field on 124th in Wilmington.
Yeah.
Shit, you would come on that field, you wouldn't even see us. We'd be inside the little tent thing.
Yeah.
And we'd have dogs, like, posted around the field. And you walk on the field, you'd be like, oh, shit, I didn't see that. Oh, fuck, it's another
just a
dog.
Whole bunch of dogs just hanging out.
Posted. Everybody just dog posted here, posted there, posted there.
Got it.
Just sitting there. And people would be scared shitless. Yes, off leash, posted.
I'm gonna do that with my next dog. Watch.
When I went to your field to shoot some video for Canine Street League, and you brought Mongol out, I was like, man. And you sat him right in front of me too. I was sitting there on the bench, and he puts Mongol on the down in front of me, and I was like, damn it.
Nah, but I'm not
gonna be able to get up.
Hey, but that's a different like even man like that's what people don't understand sometimes. And I think now that you've been a little bit more involved with sport, right? Because I know your mentality has changed from like. From, you know, even 2 years ago, 3 years ago, because I remember talking to you, or hearing you talking, you were kind of like, nah, it's bullshit. Like, we don't do sport dogs, which I get it. I completely get it. But Mongo's a different dog. Like, when I seen him inside the van, just hanging out compared to how he is on the field, he will never react how he's going to react out in the field. Like, he's never going to react to somebody. You know, not really just walking by him on the field, how he is going to react to him in the van walking by him. That's, you know, so let's talk a little bit about that, you know, because I know a lot of people have questions of like, can a sport dog be a protection dog? How do you feel about that?
It's how it's upbringing. It's foundation work. It's not all about the equipment. It's a certain way to do it.
Right.
For us, you know, you drive them, they bite. Drop that equipment, get some agitation out of it, make it, you know, put it on the man.
Right.
So
that's so it's really the process of training that really changes the dog. Not, you know, Is that, that's what you're saying, right? Just the even if you're gonna do sport, you still have to add that that link of like personal protection, real type work.
I have to. I want dogs that bite. I don't want nothing just to bite a suit.
Right,
and the genetics matter as well.
Yes,
would you say?
Yeah.
For having a dog that can do sport and protection work.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely, every dog can do sport. Every protection dog can do sport, just like every sport dog can do
protection.
Yes.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I think more dogs can do protection than sport, in my opinion. What do you think about that? Do you think, obviously a good dog is a good dog, but I'm saying like a lot of like the sport washouts that people can't really do sport with.
But a dog got to be in the right frame of mind to be able to do protection or sport.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like, for example, say we get a guarding breed like a Corso. Mm-hmm. You could put him behind a fence and he might bite somebody, you know what I'm saying? But then you could put him into a sport field and he might not really, he might not look good out there. He might not be able to do that. So I think sometimes the personal protection dogs, you could turn like a dog that's not very good at sport into a good guarding dog. It doesn't mean he's going to be this like banger, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but
I understand that
he could do some of the work, is what I'm saying.
Because, like, I mean, a personal protection dog doesn't need to do a 45 minute routine,
right?
You know what I mean? It's not necessary. No. It can do the job of even just being a deterrent, yeah. or like you said, being behind a fence,
yep.
And biting when they need to bite.
You got to bite when you need it.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about let's go back to maybe not Mongo, but now, what are some of the first things that you start doing with your young prospects?
First, I look for, the attitudes. I like, certain attitudes. I like drive. I like confidence. And, I like the bite, genetic. Dogs are just not scared, scary.
Right.
I don't know. Shit.
I
look at them and watch.
Nah, but you got to process though. I mean, I just from me knowing you for, the short time that I've known you, I know that you do a lot of back tie work and a lot of flirt pole work.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, if you guys ever go to Sykes Yard, I'm sure you're going to see him work some flirt pole stuff. Explain a little bit of why you do that with a whole bunch of dogs lined up in the fence.
Flirt pole, back tie, it's a science, it's an art, because it does a lot of stuff at one time. You can work the bite with the flirt pole and, the thing on the end, the rag.
Work the grip.
The grip, you work in the prey, you work in athleticism, dogs jumping and jumping out, confidence. So a whole bunch of stuff goes, just off that fence.
They'll build off of the other dogs, yes. Learn from other dogs.
Yes.
Get neutral to other dogs, too.
Yeah, but, sometimes dogs are on the fence. They miss in the heat of the moment, stuff like that. But if I tell you I'll build a dog off the fence, and you'll be like, you didn't do all that off a fence. Yes, I did. Yeah. I could show you a dog, like, face.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the fence, like, 9 months, 9-10 months before I start doing damn near anything with him.
Right.
Yeah.
And Face now is a personal protection dog / home protector.
Right.
And got his first bite.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that story? Story time.
He bit the wrong person, though.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, bite's a bite.
Hey, look.
God, he bit him.
No, the guy let his daddy walk in the backyard.
He didn't know him.
Man, Face is your dog.
Right.
Not your dad's dog.
Yeah.
Did he mess the dude up or he was...
Almost took his ear off.
Ouch.
Oof.
Jumped up and grabbed him and jumped him and ripped his whole ear off.
Dang. And man, and
but the dude was like, I had to do
but this is what this boy. Is what I tell people, man. Like, you guys don't realize how important, how it's a big responsibility to have a dog like that. You know what I'm saying?
And
people think that... People think that it's just, owning a dog. Nah, it's like...
It's a gun.
It's worse than a gun because if you're not taking care of it, it'll go off on its own. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yes. if like you said, like this dude walked back there. This dog did what it was trained to do. Imagine if that was a bad guy. That you, and But then the owner just didn't set him up for success. I mean, I, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So to me, it's like, I think people just need to realize that it is not, it's nice having a real dog, protection dog.
It's a responsibility.
But it's a big responsibility. So don't think that, you know, you're going to go and purchase one of these dogs and he's literally going to just read your mind and he's going to read the other person. Like he's going to know exactly who he's going to.
And he's not a robot.
It's not a robot. You know, you can't program him to go, you got to get this guy, this guy, this guy, not this guy, not this guy, not this guy. No. So I think people really need to make a bigger deal about this, especially, you know, there's a lot of young people right now that are getting into this industry, and they need to realize that there's some real potential, negative things happening with these dogs.
Dogs can damage you for life.
Right.
Yeah, hurt you really bad, especially some stuff that we train in.
Right.
Try to train man stoppers, not shit just to bite you.
Right.
Something to put your ass down.
Right. Yeah, man. I was, even today, I was watching a video and it came out in the news that they found an Amazon guy inside a house and two dogs mauled him, right? And they found him there hours later or whatever. These are dogs, man. Like they don't, you know what I'm saying? And you know, they ended up going back to the house, putting bullets on both the dogs, putting them out. But man, to me now, that's why I don't leave my dogs in the front. I'll leave them in the back unless I'm gonna be around. I don't put them in the front because it's just so easy for somebody to walk into your gate and getting nuked, and that's it.
All our dogs, they have to be controlled. Controlled atmosphere, always.
Your first sport that you went into was PSA. Let's talk a little bit about that and maybe some of the shift you had to do in your training to be able to compete in that.
Okay. my first PSA experience was Colorado. Me and Kevin.
You guys drove out there?
Yes.
For your PDC?
PDC, and I was doing the one.
Got it.
So I didn't pass the one that time.
What happened? No control?
What happened? I think he didn't out.
Got it.
I think he didn't out. I can't even fucking.
And what made you like decide like I'm gonna go do it? You know, because I know before you weren't really with it.
I trained for about a year. I trained for the PDC, the one and the two.
Got it.
For like a whole year. And Mongo, people don't know that we did all this shit in 1 year. We did the PDC, we did the two legs of the one, and both legs of the two in a year.
Well, you were campaigning him for a year and you got all that.
Yes.
But you were training for a long time.
About a year.
Yeah. Well, how old was he when you got all that? He was
four.
Yeah, okay, got it. That's what I'm saying. You did a lot of training before that, but
one year, boom. Then
you campaigned him for a year and you got him all those titles or whatever. Yes. Which is not easy. Anybody that plays in a PSA, you know, it's not an easy sport.
So I didn't think I could do it. I'll just sit back and watch people, you know, not pass, not pass, not pass. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
That was actually one of the questions. How did you go from just protection to doing really well in sports? I mean, what was the shift? What was the shift in your mindset?
I got a fucking village around me.
Yeah.
I got motherfuckers I can ask shit. I got you know, I got you. I got Lou. I got, you know, I know a lot of people. I know trainers all the way around the world. If it's something I don't know, I'm not going to speak on it. I will find out.
So because you had more resources available, you decided you had enough support to try and do something new.
Plus, just motherfuckers talking shit.
Yeah. you had some motivation behind it.
I had motivation. People, you know, with their doubts in training, doubts in the dog. Like, okay, Mongo, let's go out here and show them we're going to kick some ass.
Yeah.
And then you get some.
You did a little bit of ass kicking.
Yes, go get some.
So what titles does Mongo have on him other than the PSA stuff?
PSA, the NADF. He has an NADF too.
PSA 2.
Yeah, PSA 2.
Both legs, right? Both legs, PSA 2.
Yes. And I'm thinking about doing the 3.
In PSA?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it's definitely, you know, it's just once you train for it, that's it.
I know the dog can do it.
Yeah.
So all we have to do is train for that shit a year.
Yeah.
Get us a year in of training, and we'll go out there and knock this shit out.
That'll be fun to watch, man. I think you guys could definitely do it. Yeah. You just got to watch your damn handling. Too many commands. And make sure you don't go in there. And make sure you don't go in there.
Buzzed up.
Make sure you don't go buzzed out in there, bro.
I don't smoke before trial no more.
I'm like, bro. Like, you just, he's
I'm
like.
Just talking to my dog, like, hey,
he's over there having a conversation with him and shit.
That's cool.
Hey, we had a good time training at Lou's, too, man. When you were prepping for the, I want to say it was the maybe second leg of the one, I think, or first leg of, I don't remember. But that's when we started, like, because I started wanting to do PSA, too, and it was me, you, Kevin, and Lou,
Roosevelt
would be out there. So, and yeah, it was some good times right there in Pomona. Yeah, man, that's cool. Why don't we let's get into some questions. So earlier today we posted you know, for you guys to ask him some questions. So we got a few, so let's check them out. So we got some questions. This one's from my good friend, I know Sykes' good friend, Jesse Cortez out in Atlanta. Make sure you guys check them out, Patriot Canine. You already answered this one actually. He said what made you start competing? So basically people talking shit and he wanted to prove that his training is good. So, and he did. All right. So his second question is, how did the passing of your mentor affect you?
I was just talking about that on the way up here. I was like, that's a hard question.
Yeah.
I don't even want to answer the question, but I know he's looking at me and he's happy.
100%.
100%.
Yeah, man. I think, For people watching, you know, because I know a lot of people all over the world watch. And so Malcolm at L.A. Master Canine is somebody very known here in the, you know, especially, I mean, here and anybody that's been around for more than 10 years, they know who Malcolm was. I never really, I think I just met him. I never got to train with him. But still, you know, now through what he did in the community, now people like, you know, Syke and, you know, a bunch of other people have been able to, you know, show his work. So his legacy gets to, you know, keep going. So I'm sure he's really happy about that. Watching you guys, what did he train first when Mongo was a pup? What does he look for in a pup? Protection versus sport?
Not into sport. So I wasn't into sport, but, you know, I look for confidence.
I think it basically goes for both of them, right? Even if it's just a protection dog or a sport dog, like, it don't matter. It's
the foundation.
It starts with confidence.
Confidence. Really, I want a tough-ass dog. It started with the parents.
Yeah.
I'm looking at both parents and their pedigrees for me.
Yeah.
I like strong dogs. I don't want no pussy-ass dog. I want something strong.
100%. In your experience with, because you've had more than a few litters, the standouts, like there's those pups that just stand out. How many, like, in a litter of say eight, do you see sometimes that are, you're like, oh, yo, that one's got it.
Sometimes you see the one,
and he just stands out, huh? Yep.
The one or two pups, then that one shove that other puppy to the side, like, I'm that one.
Right. So to answer that question, well, first, you know, I think he looks for the same thing in protection or sport.
Or dog. Yeah.
I mean, that's just confidence. What it comes down to. Yep.
Drive.
And yeah, it's, I mean, to me, it's like you want that standout pup. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, you know, and it's for me, at least for me, it's been rare, like, that you see that.
Oh, yeah. I'm still looking for a Mongol puppy. And I'm like, some people like, you know, they might get them. Somebody might have sold them.
Right.
But then they fall into
the wrong hands.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So you'll never see the potential. That's tough.
All right. This one's from Quick Nick. Why does protection training have a stigma around it? Why do some look down on protection?
That's shit. That's on individuals.
Right.
Because I don't see it and I don't feel it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've seen some dogs that have just been trained for protection that I'll take a puppy out of before any fully
dog.
Titled sport dog. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I think that depends on whoever, you know, whoever's looking at it. It's on the eye of the beholder.
I think Nick is talking about sports trainers to protection dogs. Trainers.
It's funny because like it goes both ways. Like for a lot of sport people, there's a stigma that from protection people that sport dogs aren't it. You know what I mean? So it goes both ways.
Yeah, I definitely think it goes both ways.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people say sport dog ain't going to bite shit. But exactly. Like this, some sport dogs will try to eat my ass up.
Right. And here's the and vice versa, like to me, because I have been one of these people that has said something about like people that just want to do personal protection. I have been that in the past. Now I don't really give a shit what anybody does, but I'm just saying. And to me, it's more like I feel like I would always hear like personal protection trainers just really talk down on sport trainers, but it was a lot of it came because of. They just never done it. You know what I'm saying? Lack of experience. So how can you speak on something that you've never done?
Yeah.
That goes both ways.
And it goes both ways. Yep. You know what I'm saying? But how are you going to tell a sport trainer that his dog isn't a personal protection dog? Well, you don't really know that. He should know that how he trained his process. For example, me, when I do sport work, IGP, let's say, that's just sleeve work.
Yeah.
But the process of how we get to the higher levels there, we use hidden sleeve, we use muzzles, so it's just not, you're not just using that, but people don't see that side of it. Just how people don't see your side of it where you just do personal protection and they think that your dog is never going to be able to do sport, yet it's not hard when you really go into it because you've already added all that foundation. So I think it's in the eye of the beholder, just like a good dog. It's either got it or he don't. And just like a good trainer, he's either got it or he don't. A good personal protection trainer shouldn't have a problem going into PSA and getting a PDC-1. That should be easy work.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's why for me, it was like, why are you talking about that when you have no experience?
Yeah.
He went in there, killed it. Mm-hmm. And he could say, yeah, I got dogs that'll bite for real. And I got dogs that I've competed with.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's at. You know what I'm saying? Like Wapo has gotten live, I mean, you know, has done some work. And the thing is that people don't know that he's just a sport dog to some people.
Yeah.
Because they don't know the other stuff. So, man, at the end of the day, it's just.
A good dog's a good dog.
A good dog's a good dog. And people are going to talk regardless. in whatever way is going to benefit them.
People going to talk regardless. So, don't give a fuck. We at the top, the bottom, middle.
It don't matter.
Yeah, it don't matter. They're going to still talk.
All right, here we go. At what point do you feel like you're not relying in your food and training? Do you use food and training?
I've never used food in my life.
He said he don't use food
and
training.
I feed dogs food.
That's cool. No, I think everybody got different.
No, but I don't knock it. My dogs work off of praise, and touch, and voice, and
toys. Ball.
Touch. That's my boy.
Yeah.
Dogs work off of that. And praise.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, for me, it's like the level of obedience or like for whatever sport you want to play, right? Like, let's go back to IGP. Their obedience is completely different than any other sport in the way that they train because they're literally like, if your dog isn't wagging his tail and looking happy, you lose points just for that. Yeah. So they're very picky in that. So the trainers that train for that have to train a certain way to be able to win in that sport.
Yeah.
For what you do, you don't really need that. You know what I'm saying? But then we have people, trainers, like really good trainers who have won big competitions like Ivan. He uses his ball. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think he uses much food from my understanding. I think he uses a lot of ball. And he makes it happen that way. So... there's so many methods, you know.
Yeah.
But you don't use food then?
Never use food.
Is that like a never? Like I'm never going to use food?
Mm-mm, I said I don't knock it. If I, you know, get on my Rottweiler. start using some food.
Yeah, we're going to see Psych in a couple years.
Yes, you'll see my Rottweiler next year.
In a couple years, he's like, super. He's going to be like those IGP trainers, bro. Super. All right, let's see. If you could change something from Two-Face to Mongo, what would it be?
Nothing.
That was easy.
All right. If you could change something from Mongo to Two-Face, what would it be?
Be a bigger dog.
A bigger dog? You like big dogs?
I like bigger dogs.
Bro, I always want big dogs, bro, and I can never get them, man.
Yeah, I like a man stopper. Getting his ass. Eat him up.
All right. Let's see. Will there be a 2023 Mongo litter from Teachable Canine?
Yes. I got a couple of females I'm going to bring Mongo to next year.
Nice. Has he produced himself?
No.
Not yet?
Nope. Not that I could see. I haven't held on to him long enough to see.
Right. Should a true personal protection dog bite anywhere in the suit?
Yes.
I think any dog.
Yeah,
should. Yeah.
Dog should bite anywhere on the body.
Yeah, bro. You got to go a little bit deeper into the answers, though. You're like, hey, he's like, hey, yes. Wait.
Next question.
Yes, yes. Next question. And I was playing. All right, let me see. What would your first steps to taking a working Conny Corso shuts in?
What did I say? I'll direct that question.
He don't have Corsos or does Shutson.
Hey, direct that to Oscar Samai.
I'm pretty sure that was for Oscar.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't care. Like,
I had a Corso, though.
It don't matter the breed, bro. Here, no. A dog is a dog. Yeah. And if you want to succeed in something, that dog's going to have.
He has to have it.
At least something of what, it might not be what your best Malinois is going to have, but it's still got to have drive. It's got to have some grip, some possessiveness, some confidence.
I had a Corso named Blue. Put a little obedience on him. He bit the sleeve, agitation. That was it.
This is what people don't like to hear this sometimes, man. But let's be honest. You're not really going to find too many Corsos that really got like that heart behind it. You know what I'm saying?
He had it too.
And it's rare, and that's why you don't see a lot of people doing it with a Corso, because
they trying.
Yeah, but it's soft. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. The only person that I know that got Corsos that would like go through a lot of pressure is my guy Ty.
Yeah, Ty
up on the East Coast. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
PSA 3 Corso.
Other than that, personally, I haven't met too many that like could really take that pressure. He got a PSA 3 on a Corso, so that's unheard of.
But not to knock Ty or any of that. You think he could do it today with a Corso? How this?
I'm not even gonna say no, because he's probably gonna listen to this and be like, "Man, I'll fucking do it."
Not
here's the thing.
I'm saying just for the dogs, period, and then all the crazy shit they do.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think times have changed maybe a little bit.
Do you think it would ever be another
PSA 3 Corso?
Yeah.
Nah. I mean, so unless Ty. That. Yeah, unless Ty came out and he did it again. But yeah. Other than that, I just don't see it happening. Personally, me, I love the breed, but I look at them for what they are. It's yes. Like a good family protection, I mean, a guarding dog.
That's what you know I what tell I'm saying? People constantly.
And so to me, it's like, ain't nobody going to get close to your house with that big-ass dog in the front yard. No. So to me, and I love how they are with the good ones with the family. I love how they could just relax. Somebody walks by, they bark. People stay away. I think it's a great family dog when it's bred right. Can it be an amazing sport dog? I think there's a few, and in the right hands, they could do something. But it's not very easy. Yeah. Yeah. So
they built different.
Yeah. So I mean, can it be done? I think it could be done. Is it gonna be done? Probably not in my lifetime. All right. So I think that was it for questions. Why don't you tell us some of the things you got coming up, maybe, in your camp and, you know, in your training. I know you run obedience classes. You do all that. What's something that talk to us first about some of the things you already do and maybe some of the things that you are planning to do for the future.
Shit, I'm raising up a few dogs for the future right now. I have I got so many damn dogs, but Vader, one of Mongo's nephews.
Is there a standout right now that you see that you're like, this one
Vader,
could be it?
Vader and Eli, both savages.
Oh, you already named another one Eli?
Yeah, Eli. Eli is the Dutch I got.
Nice.
You like him.
He's How old a big is he? Boy.
He's a year and some change.
Nice.
He's big, powerful.
Mongo's son?
It's a Mongo's nephew. It's got his daughter, his sister's son.
Got it.
And he's bred from a police dog up north, Kuno Rosen's son.
Nice.
He's a nice dog. Vader.
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 That's the promise son right there. Vader.
He's good. and he's clear. He's a psycho dog, but he's clear.
Nice.
And the other dog I got to Eli.
And Eli, how is he?
He's a psycho too, but he's clear.
Nice.
He outs early now.
He does. Yeah, you taught him early.
I taught him early.
Hey, I remember. I know people came because I would always preach like if the,
teach him early.
If he bites and you don't have a problem with him biting, teach him how to out early. Mm-hmm. And then you were always like, "Nah, we don't out early."
Eli, I thought I ain't even gonna say that because I wanted to hurt that dog.
He didn't want to out.
His drive, you know,
he just
chain
switched.
Space, he'll bite your ass. You trying to walk out the chain space, walk in the chain space, he's on drive and he's.
Let's talk a little bit. Do you man, I've seen the most bites I've seen to the handlers have been from Dutch Shepherds, bro. In my experience, I think what do you think it is in the Dutch Shepherd that
the black dog.
Is that where it came from? You think?
You don't
know? Nah, I don't. Yes. Educate us a little bit. This is like your opinion, right? Or is it like this is it?
This is I believe this, but in a lot of the harder line Dutch lines, black dogs are there.
Got it. You think that's where that you know, the redirecting to the handler comes from?
Why are they there though?
I don't know. They're harder dogs. Hard dogs.
It was nice dogs, so. I believe that.
Got it.
So most of the Dutch lines, harder lines, got black dogs in them.
Yeah.
Check them out.
So right now you do protection class, obedience classes, protection classes. I see you do that on Saturday morning. Yep. How's that doing right now?
That's pretty good.
Got a lot of clientele, students coming in?
Clients and then potential people that want to do sports. A lot of people come. Awesome. With the notion that they want to do sports,
what are the people that motivate you to come that you see that you're working with? Because like me, there's a certain type of person that I go, oh, I want to work with that person.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like who's what's somebody that wants to come to your school? What's something that you look at that you're like, yo, I want to work with them?
That little girl that's coming to you now.
Which one?
What's dude's name? That has the corso.
Oh, Giovanni. His
daughter.
Oh yeah, she's into her. It. Yeah, man, she's into it. She'd be walking up to me like, "Can we work my dog?" I'm like, yeah. "We don't have a lot of time right now, but you can't even say no to her."
No.
She's gonna be. I think that in the next 10 years, that little girl's gonna be somebody in the dog world. Yeah, I think
she will be.
There's just not too many people that got that desire. Even older people that you know.
She better than a lot of.
Yeah, she handles her dog like it ain't no joke. And she was training with PJ, I think, before. And now, they went out there with you and they're just trying to learn, you know. I think that little girl's going to be something.
I wish her daddy could get her down there more, but you know, I know they work a lot.
Yeah, they're pretty busy. Actually, they were out there yesterday, but they didn't bring her because she's in school. But he got a guapo puppy, so we'll see how he turns out. And then,
Something you were talking to us about earlier is you're planning on opening like a school for trainers. Talk a little more about that.
Train-the-trainer program. As far as I want to teach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because this is a dying art.
Right.
And if, like, dudes, how we know how to train the dogs, these dudes don't, my opinion, they don't know how to train these dogs like how we know how to train these dogs.
I definitely think that you have a little bit of a niche in the way that you do things. I mean, you know, from what I've seen, at least there's like a way that like for me, if I saw the training, I go, oh yeah, that's, you know, they train at South Bay or like, you know, when I see it.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that, you know, you have something to pass on to everybody. And, man, I look forward to checking it out, man. And if you guys are out there and you guys are looking into learning how to train, you know, be a trainer, make sure you guys keep a lookout for that. It's going to be in 2023.
Yes, sir.
You got to do it now, bro, because you just spoke on it.
Yes.
And it's on record.
Yes, I'm doing it. I'm getting that shit together.
That's
right
what's
now.
Up, man. Competition-wise, you said you're going to try to train for your PSA 3?
I think we're going to try to do the, not try, we're going to go do the NADF.
Got it.
3, because that's a little bit, I ain't going to say simpler, because we still got to train for it.
Right.
Then PSA.
Cool.
And then I'm trying to get all my guys. I need help.
Yeah.
Take a village. You can't do that shit by yourself.
It's hard, man. It's hard to
Then get Jonathan Katz and get some other cats out here that's got it. Knowledge. Let's go.
Yep. That's what's up, man. That's cool. Cool, man. Well, shoot. Again, congratulations on all your success, man. I know I've enjoyed watching the process of you being a personal protection dog trainer to now being able to go out and whoop some ass in sport.
Yeah, I enjoy it too.
And you know, and this is just the beginning, bro. So,
yes.
Thank you for being out here. Where can people find you?
South Bay Malinois.
What is it? But let me ask Kim, because Kim, what is it? SBM.com? SBMK9.com or TheStealthK9.com. Make sure you guys check them out. Make sure you guys follow them on Instagram. Where else? Facebook. You have a Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook,
Instagram. Make sure
check them on Facebook. And anything else you want to add, Matt? And TikTok. Anything else you want to add before we head out?
Anything else?
Canine Street League champion.
We already talked about that. My guy was a Canine Street League champion.
First season.
Hey, listen. Yeah, man, I enjoy you know judging Syke. I think that you know just watching him grow in the sports side.
Evolved.
Yeah, you evolved into where you're at right now, and we're all evolving. We still got a lot to learn. We still got a lot to to get better at. But it's dope, man. It's dope watching Mongo and I'm looking forward to the new next dogs, piece. Man. Yeah. So make sure you guys check out Canine Street League. We got big things coming, so I'm really looking forward to that. I know.
I'm looking forward.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Tell Mike, I told him.
Yeah,
he told him.
I told you. I said you come to LA, Mike.
Yeah. So right now, while we're on that right now though, in the ones, what were some of the, what was one of the more difficult things that you thought in the ones?
I think the car scenario.
Yeah.
Think he could have reacted faster than the muzzle fighting.
Yeah.
I haven't done handful of times I've done muzzle fighting with Mongo.
Right. And the thing is like a lot of the time they like from training to trial, it like changes, you know what I'm saying? Like the way it looks and everything and it changes in the dog. So it's just, I think it's just going to require a little bit more proofing and training.
All you do is help me like far as you tell me about trialing.
Right.
Ty Nero called me and you know, he watched me and he's like, Psych, you this, that, the other. You know your dog.
Right.
Like when my dog went out.
Got
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, Mongo out. And I used everything up that fast.
Yeah.
Standing there just like.
But that's why trialing just, you know, you become a little bit more savvy on how you could, you know, kind of.
Yeah, I done became trial smart, trial savvy. Far as I'm not DQing. I'll take a point deduction DQ or something like
smart.
That.
And
I'll
try to
tell my people, you know, take the point deduction.
Nah, now that you've gone through it, I think that, you know, now you could help others go through it because you've already been through it. So, yeah, man. Canine Street League, guys, make sure you guys check that out.
Good shit.
Yeah, we, like, again, you know, Mike and the whole team out there, they're putting a lot of work into it. And so we're looking forward to trial number 4.
Kick ass again,
yeah, we're
Mike.
Getting real close to getting a date for that, and it's gonna be good. I'm excited for it.
Very nice.
Ro, you got anything to add?
No, just keep. You guys have any questions or comments? You know, while we're getting ready for the next episodes, just hit us up on Elevated Canine Podcast Instagram account. I'll get those questions to our guest, to Oscar, and keep an eye out for. Trainers, teaching trainers, people who are looking for a mentorship when it comes to personal protection and even sport work, South Bay Malinois is going to have something for you. And, you know, mentorship is important, I think.
Yep.
And I'm sure these guys would agree with me. So definitely keep an eye out for that. Stealth Canine, they sell merchandise. They're usually at every event in SoCal.
Yep. If you need any gear, check them out. TheStealthCanine.com. And then make sure you guys follow us at Elevated Canine Academy. Follow me at Oscar Morada Canines now. I changed it because my guy Shane was like, hey, bro, you got to add the canine there if you want to, you know, if you want. He said it would look better. So I'm just doing what the influencers tell me to do.
Damn, and means I gotta change mine now.
And see if we can build it. Mickware, MickWear.com. Make sure you guys check it out. We got some badass hoodies and zip-up jackets. And there's the 10% off right now. Make sure you guys check them out. The cold weather's coming. Make sure you get your hoodie and your sweater.
South Bay Mountain Wall just put out some dope hoodies as well. Design here. Mongols on the back of it, I believe.
Yep.
That's on the website, sbmk9.com.
Cool. So, we'll see you guys on the next one. We had a great time. My brother, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming
you.
Through. You, what? Thank you. You can't shake the man's hand?
I can, but...
Come on, bro.
Get them big claws anyway.
I'm just playing, bro. All right, guys. We'll see you guys on the next one. Peace out. Oh, yeah. And remember, elevate your mind.
Elevate your canine.
Let's get it, baby.
Let's get it. This that go and get it. With no hesitation. This that never quit.